Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, and health. So, I took a little bit of a summer break. Hey, I'm entitled. It's been very, very busy over here. Brianna's keeping me very, very, very busy. But I'm super happy to be back. So I want to thank all of my listeners out there, my family, my everybody that's listening out there. I just want to thank you all for supporting me and listening in tonight and for understanding that I need a break too sometimes, you know. But I appreciate everybody sticking with me, and I appreciate everybody listening in tonight. I have a super amazing show planned for you tonight. But, you know, everybody that knows my pattern and my show, always have my shout out first. And so my first shout outs is going to go out to Judy Boning and Ed Waterford for being on my last show, my producer. Thank you so much for the stories that you shared. I had such a fun time interviewing Judy. You know, she's amazing. She's actually a fashion designer. Worked alongside people like Martin Sheen, the two biggest Bettys in the business. No offense, Betty Boop, but Betty White, Betty Davis. She's worked with so many different amazing people. So just want to give a shout out to you for sharing your stories with us and your journey. I hope that you're enjoying your retirement as you should. Final shout out goes out to all the July, August, and September birthdays. Hope you are you celebrated all month long. September, you still got a lot more days left in this month to celebrate. Keep it going. Celebrate all the moments. All the moments. It's your time. So now, without further ado, I would like to introduce to you my very amazing friend, who I feel more is like a brother to me. You know, he's more like family than a friend. And I honestly don't even know how to introduce him because he wears so many hats. My goodness. He literally wears a hat for being a dad. Let's see. celebrity makeup artist, actor, writer, songwriter, producer, former professional cheerleader, performer in general. And he is a very famous TV dadager, raising a triple threat. We have so much to talk about tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him on without further ado. Cool. Benson, you are live on air. How you doing tonight?
What's up, Tammy? I'm good. I apologize if there's background noise. As a dadager, the schedule to my daughter's call time got changed. She was supposed to be there at 6:30, but they had a rehearsal today, and then they changed it. So she had to be there till 7. So I'm literally dropped her off, and I'm walking back to the hotel right now. So if you hear background noise, that's why. And if I sound
hey,
like I'm
you know what? This is the life
that's I'm running.
Of a dadager. Yeah, this is the dadager hat because you wear so many hats. As I was explaining
yes.
to our listeners, you were so many hats,
yes.
a dadager. You know what? I can totally relate. When I got home from work, I had an audition that I had, like, we had to do this audition and shoot two videos. So I literally shot videos all the way up to 6:45 and then logged into the show. And here we are. So I 110% understand the life.
It's crazy. It's always something. And thank you for that awesome introduction. I feel
absolutely
honored.
Like,
I feel honored to be here.
Oh, it's so cool to talk to you. Cool. It's so weird because I was just telling somebody tonight that I feel weird saying the word cool because I didn't realize how many times I say the word cool in one day. I need to count how many times. And then when I say cool to you because your name is cool, then I'm like, I got to find a different adjective because it sounds weird to say you are so cool, cool. You know what I mean? I'm sure you've heard that a million times.
I can typically tell when someone's saying my name or they're using it as an adjective. I very rarely turn around when someone says, oh, that's cool. Sometimes I can't tell, and I'm like, did they just call me? I'm like, cool. And I'm like, do I know you? Sometimes it's weird, but no, not that bad. I could be named other something else.
I know, but you know what? Your name fits you so well because you are, like, one of the coolest people I know. Like, you juggle and wear so many hats. I was telling everybody, like, more than a friend, like, I really feel like you're, like, my brother from another mother. Like, you literally feel like family immediately. Like, you
be.
And your family.
We might be. I have a big family. We might be. I have a large family. You never know. I've been known to walk up on people and be like, are you my cousin? But, of course, we call everybody cousins. My family is everybody's family. That's how we are. That's how we are. We love you. We love hard.
That's so true. So true. Like, and I feel like that around all your friends too. Like all your friends, like you keep really good company. You know, you're good people. Really good company. And I think that's so important and key in juggling all the hats that you juggle. It's important to keep good company and people around you because, you know, you need that good support system. So speaking of juggling all these hats, we want to know your secrets. How the heck do you juggle all these hats? I mean, I listed off like 25 occupations in the beginning. How do you do it?
You know what? I'm going to answer that question right when I get off the elevator. I don't want to lose you in the middle. If I lose you, I will call you right back.
Okay, I got you. So while we're not going to have dead air here. So while we're waiting, just cool, whenever you get down out of the elevator or up or wherever you're going, let me know.
Holding. Are you still there? I'm here.
I'm
like,
still
I'm,
there.
I'm off the elevator now. All right, cool.
Oh, you're off the elevator already? Oh.
Yeah, I'm not in the penthouse. that's how you juggle hats. Like you pray when you're in the elevator that you don't lose your call. All right.
That's
awesome.
The secret. You just go with it, right? You just go with it.
You just go with it and make it happen. You know.
Make it happen.
All right. Cool. I can focus now. I'm here. So, you know, I've always been like this, and I sometimes feel like I'm like an organized, an unorganized, or an organized mess. I remember in high school, my music teacher, and I think, you know, he thought it was a compliment or a dig. I don't know if it was a compliment or a dig, but I really admire this teacher. He taught me a lot. But I remember when I wanted to switch music instruments, I played like every instrument in the band when I was in high school because I would play it and I would love it, but I wanted to move on to the next one. I was a sax player. I played French horn. I played oboe. I played flute. And he's like, at the time I was it's called select band. So I was like first tier select band, saxophone. And he was like, you should just stick to the saxophone because, you know, you're so great at it. I'm like, yeah, but I want to play oboe.
He goes, oboe's a double reed. You're playing single reed. Like, why do you want to go to move to an oboe? It takes years to learn an oboe. Well, I picked it up, and by the next year, I was first year solo oboe within 1 year.
What?
And yeah.
You didn't tell me about your oboe game.
It's just always been my thing, just to like do what I love and just to keep doing it. And he was like, you know, you can be a jack of all trades and a master of none, but it's really good to master something. I was like, well, I master something if I can like learn how to do everything. I'd rather learn how to do everything than not be just good at one thing. So that always sticks in my head, because sometimes I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I should just do this one thing or just do this one thing. But I'm like, why? I'm like, why just put yourself in a box and just be, a makeup artist? Why can't you be a makeup artist and an actor and a music producer and a dad and you know, all of these things? Why? So, you know, I just keep adding things onto my plate. But, you
well,
know,
I certainly
keep
didn't
it
know that. I didn't know that you were a musician. You never shared that with me. I know that you're a performer. I know that you write music. I know that you're heavily involved in music, but I did not know that you actually play instruments. So I'm actually learning something new about you tonight. That's really, really cool. You know, speaking of high school, I was a cheerleader for all 4 years, varsity my sophomore year, how to do a backhand train to get on varsity. We were really, really good. We beat out the varsity our freshman year. My junior the JV squad beat out our varsity squad. Our freshman year, we blew it out the wall. Like, everybody was like, whoa. You know, we were that squad that made cheerleading cool. And then all the way up till I graduated. And then even after that, it still was really cool. So I want to start, I'm glad you touched on high school. Let's jump into college, because you were a professional cheerleader and you were like a celebrity to us cheerleaders, because anyone that did USA, UCA,
UCA, yeah,
all these different cheerleading camps, Spirit, there's so many different ones that we went to.
All the CAs.
Oh, yeah, all the CAs. And you guys were celebrities, you know, to us, because, and then to go to college and actually be a cheerleader, that's like, whoa. Because that was my life. That was my life between that and softball, you know, that and sports, whatever I could play in the off season. That was life for me. And so tell everybody about your cheerleading experience, because I'm very impressed by that.
Cheerleading was my life. I mean, I remember I played basketball, and because my brother played basketball, he was an awesome basketball player, you know, and where I'm from, you know, there wasn't many guy cheerleaders, and you play basketball. They just put balls in your hand, like football or basketball. But I wanted to be a cheerleader really bad, so my mom and everybody was supportive, and good thing, because I was so passionate about it. I lived, dreamed about cheerleading, and I used to watch the University of Kentucky on ESPN. And they were winning national championships. And that is all I wanted to do. It was like in my vision board since I was in, you know, ninth grade, 10th grade, that I was going to go to college and be a college cheerleader and win a national championship. It was just, that was going to happen. So I did that. I went to the University of Kentucky. They were the best cheerleading team in the nation. And, I went there, and I got a scholarship. I got a music scholarship, actually, to go to school to be a cheerleader. I don't know. It was just always part of my passion, and it never left me. After college, I moved to Atlanta, and then I opened. I started working as a cheerleading coach, and eventually that led to me opening my own cheerleading school. And then I coached, like, over 9 teams. We were very innovative. And my cheer days, my coaching days, we were a lot of firsts that are in the industry. A lot of things that the industry still does today. We were pioneers. I'm not calling my age out here, but a lot of my OG cheerleaders, they know what I'm talking about. We were all pioneers back in the day to make the sport what it is today, the all-star cheerleading industry what it is today.
Nice. Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, and it's evolved so much. Like, I watch cheerleading competitions now, and it's, like, on a whole other level. I'm like, wait a minute. Those things, those moves were illegal back in the day, you know? And now they're letting people do all kinds of stuff that we could never do back in the day. Because if you drop somebody, like, they can get really seriously injured, you know?
Yeah. I mean, these kids are highly talented and very trained. I mean, that's the thing. When they go to these all-star gyms, the staff there really knows how to train kids. So, you know, it's becoming safer because of the level of training that they're getting. You know, back in the day, we would just see something someone else did, like, or see something like an acrobatic team did in the Olympics. We had no idea how to do it or the technique behind it. We just throw somebody in the air and we'd try to make up something. But now I see a lot of the training, a lot of the strength building, and they practice so hard and they work so hard. And it's a lot of progression now. Like, you go level one, level two, level three. So, I mean, you know, the industry's done a really good job at accelerating athletes and making sure they do it safely. Yeah, I'm proud to be an ex-cheerleader. And
it
never left me. I moved after I left Atlanta. I went to L.A. and I became an L.A. Clippers cheerleader even. So, yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. And, you know, I used to work for the Clippers. I used to sell tickets for the Clippers. And 2005, I think it was. Like, 2005.
Oh, we were there at the same time.
No way.
Yeah, I was a cheerleader in 04, 05, 06, I think.
My gosh. I'm going to have to – I don't even know if we had, like, picture phones in that time. Did we? I don't know.
Did we have
cameras on our phones? Or was it a flip phone at that time?
I don't know. I think those were like BlackBerry days, I think, maybe. I don't know.
The Razor.
Or like
the Nokia
and Razor days, I think. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you are right.
The flip phone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But they, you know what? They hired me on crutches. So I have so much love for them. I was injured. Like, I had knee surgery. And they hired me on crutches. I would crutch down the tunnel. And then the sales department is halfway around the Staples Center in the very middle. So I had to crutch halfway around the Staples Center to the middle. And it was all men that I work with. I was the only female. So they would, you know, cut on me and I'd dish it right back to them. It made me super tough. Because I was
Did you get injured there?
The
Did you get injured while you're at the
No, I got injured, which will lead us into the next segment. I got injured. I had to get knee surgery all because of MAC makeup. Let me tell you how. So you met Karin, which we'll get into in a minute. Karin, the teacher, Daliana, right? Read to her class. So she wanted my discount because I was modeling. I was doing a bunch of industry stuff, and so I got the 30% discount at MAC. So she wanted my discount before I hopped on the plane. So we ran at the Kodak Theater, and I slipped and I fell because they just had the Oscars, and they just mopped the floor, and they didn't put the signs up, you know, the little cone, and I slipped and fell on my knee. And it was right before a clinical tour. I was getting ready to go on tour with my music and boxing and all this stuff, and anyway, to Japan. And I slipped and fell. Security saw me. They helped me out. Anyway, got her makeup, filled out an incident report. I didn't realize I was really that injured. I thought I got a bruise, and I was really more embarrassed than anything for falling in front of everybody, right?
Yeah.
So then long story short, like later, I had a serious injury, like a serious injury. So that's how I hurt my knee. And then I ended up, fast forward, I didn't get to go on tour, but it was a good thing. Blessing in disguise to Japan. I didn't get to go. But I did have surgery, and I was down and out, had no job, and the Clippers hired me for sales. And and I did pretty good there. We had a good season. It was fun.
Well, that's kind of synergistic with my story with the Clippers, because the Clippers was my transition out of cheerleading. It was I got injured at the Clippers game performing at halftime. This is actually the catalyst that changed the trajectory of my career. I was at a Clippers game. So, yeah, we're talking about this. Yeah, I was. We were performing halftime. We were doing a basket toss, a double. We were doing a double full basket toss. We were throwing. What's her name? She's beautiful. She actually was my model after makeup school. Jamie. We were throwing Jamie into a double full basket toss. And then one of the guys that – it takes three people to catch a basket. Three people throw, three people catch. So the guy
right.
who threw with me, the guy who threw with me didn't catch the basket. I don't know how you throw somebody and you don't catch them, but he threw her. And then me and the other guy, me and the other guy caught her. And since you only had a back spot and a side, his face hit my eye socket. fractured my eye bone. And I didn't go down, but I've never been hit so hard in my life. And so after the game, or after that moment, you know, I finished the routine, and then I went off the side, and I was like, I am just knocked. I was out of it. You know, I went to the emergency room. You know, I didn't have any, like, visual cuts, just a little minor visual cut. Didn't need stitches or anything. But I went home the next morning. I woke up, and I went to, like, blow my nose because it felt this pressure. And I blew my face open. Like the skin between my eye and my nose was cracked. So I was breathing into my face.
Oh my gosh.
Literally breathing into my face. I could inflate the skin around from my nose to my eye by breathing. It was scary. So I went back to the hospital. I was like, you guys missed something. Clearly you missed something,
like,
because
clearly,
I can breathe into my face. So I had an orbital fracture. So I fractured an orbital bone. So I was like, okay, I don't know how old I was, but it was only 20 years ago almost, I guess. But it was time. It was time for me to stop doing backflips and stop throwing girls in the air. So I went to makeup school while I was recovering. And I quit cheerleading and went to makeup school. And by the time I was healed and everything, I was ready to work in the makeup industry. And I came out and went right to work in makeup. And that's my story.
That's crazy.
I was like, what's next?
Clippers, but I didn't know you got injured. I didn't know that was a pivotal transition moment for you. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, at the time I was injured, like, what else do I like to do? What else do I love to do that I haven't done yet? And when I moved to LA, I knew I was going to be a makeup artist. I just know when. When I got my first LA number, 213, I was like, I'm going to be a makeup artist performer. So on my voicemail, I put, you've reached cool, makeup artist performer. At the time, I was neither. But, I mean, I was a performer-esque, but I just knew that that's why I went to LA, and I knew that I was going to be those things. And so I just put it directly out there and manifested those things as being a performer and makeup artist. So if anybody out there, you know, wants to do something, just put that energy out there and just, like, you can manifest it just by speaking it.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking it, making it come true. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And you have 18 years, right? About 18 years in the game?
Makeup?
Yeah.
Yeah, 18, yeah. 20 years, yeah.
And, you know, you're being modest right now, like, but I'm going to tell you, like, for all the listeners out there, you have done, like, you name it, you've done it, but I'm going to name a few. I'm going to name drop a little bit. I know you don't ever tell people, like, you know, people makeup that you've done, but, like, you guys just Google Cool Benson. You'll see his name pop up a million times. He's very Googleable. Very Googleable. He's done shows like High School Musical, Obi-Wan Kenobi, daytime shows like Real Daytime, Dr. Phil, The Doctors. You were a personal makeup artist for Dr. Phil for 7 years. What was that like? What was it like to – because, you know, doing male makeup is very different than doing, you know, female makeup, you know, because for, like, Dr. Phil, you know, you can't make him look too feminine. You know, you don't want to, he doesn't want lipstick on, in other words, or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a certain look
You know,
so how? What do you do?
I mean, shout out to Dr. Phil. I love Dr. Phil. It was a great experience getting to work with him. He inspired me in so many ways to be better. And I love you, Dr. Phil, if you hear this. But, you know, when I took the job to be with Dr. Phil, I was like, okay, I was the department head on The Real at the time. And, you know, The Real, we have big glamour. We have five beautiful women of color who were the hosts. We had all these makeup artists that were, like, doing phenomenal beauty work. You know, it was my job to make sure they had what they needed and that all the artists, you know, all the artists had what they needed to do the guests. I mean, not do the guests, but do the host. And then, you know, all the celebrity guests that came in, it was my job to make all of them happy and do their makeup. So, you know, here I am working on, like, The Real, doing all these beautiful black women and beautiful black actors and whatever. And then I get a call. Hey, you came highly recommended to Dr. Phil. I'm like, what am I going to do to Dr. Phil? I mean, me? I'm like, I'm glad that I, you know, came highly recommended, the honor, but what am I going to do with Dr. Phil? But it was off season. I went in for the interview, and at the time I just became a dad, and the schedule that he had was phenomenal. You know, in Hollywood, when you're working 12-hour days at minimum. When you go into a show, you're doing a 12-hour day. Like, if I leave at 6, I know I'm not going to get home at least until after 6. If I get home before 6, it's a bonus. But Dr. Phil, he was such a pro. He had his schedule down. I mean, I go in at 9 o'clock or whatever. I was out by 2. Like, it was sweet.
What?
It was,
that is unheard
it was
of.
Sweet. Yeah, it was unheard of. But you also had your hour guarantee. So I was still getting the hours. It was like having a part-time job with like full-time pay. It was great. I loved it. And so I took it for that reason, so that I could be, you know, be a dad, be there for. I could take my daughter to school, and I could pick her up. And there's no job in Hollywood that you can do that, because you're at work before your kids get up most of the time, and then you're at work when the kids. Before they go to, you know, when they go to bed, you know, you're there probably to eat with them maybe, and then to see them go to bed. You know what I mean? So I was like,
yeah,
this is great for me. This is like sent from my dad. You know, my dad had just passed. My dad just passed. And he knew that, you know, I was a dad. And I felt like that was his way of like looking after me, giving me that job, saying, okay, you got this kid now. And like, you got to, like, settle down and do what you got to do. So that job with Dr. Phil, I took it, one, because it was Dr. Phil, he was high profile, and it was, you know, it was good. And then, two, because I could spend time with my daughter. But also, what I didn't know is that, you know, doing his makeup and being on the show, I was going to learn so much. It was literally like having therapy every day of what not to do. So you sit there and you'd be watching the show and you're like, damn, it was a lesson. I felt like it was a lesson every day that made me a better parent, made me a better person, and I got paid to be there. And so that's how I felt about working.
That's awesome. You're like. You know, sometimes we feel like, okay, this, you know, gosh, how could it get any worse? And then you listen to a story on Dr. Phil, and you're like, okay, yeah.
You're
so
totally
happy I'm not in that situation.
Well, that's what he did. He used this show as a teaching tool. He literally used it as a teaching tool for the rest of America. You know, he would put that out there, and you'd see yourself in one of his guests, or you would see you've learned something. But it's literally, you know, trying to make people better. You know, sometimes he got bad rap for like saying that he was exploiting people, but he was really using, they wanted to be on TV, and he was really using them as a teaching tool.
Yeah,
and
no, that's great. Right, because there might be people going through similar situations, and then they're able to see how somebody else navigated through that situation, so they're able to, you know, it could help other people. you know.
Absolutely.
And I want to say, you know, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I want to say a few people texted me, you know, while you shared about your father and, you know, and they were sharing their deepest condolences. You know, a few people texted me on that, and I want to say that as well. You know, as I know that must, you know, that's got to be a tough thing to go through. And, you know, speaking of my dad, he just texted me just now, and he wanted me to say hi and give a shout-out to you.
What's up, Robert? I know your dad was a great host.
For everybody, well, you know, we'll get into that. We'll get into that in a little bit because I want to talk about that whole piece. You haven't revealed where you were taking your daughter to, but we'll talk about that in a minute because I want to keep talking about makeup because I want to brag about you for a second.
Let me put a closing on the Dr. Phil thing. So I was with Dr. Phil all these years, and you know, I was thinking, you know, that it was going to be boring. What am I going to be able to, you know, to do? Be used to doing women of color and, you know, all of this. But I mean, actually, I can do all skin tones. If you're a trained makeup artist, you can do skin. You have to be trained on all, on any skin tone. Anybody that sits in your chair, you should be able to do. But I ended up, you know, perfecting this makeup on Dr. Phil that ended up, we got nominated for 3 makeup artist awards, the Guild Awards. So,
wow.
So it became, I was like, oh, wow. So we, you know, ended up getting nominated a couple times for the work that we did.
That's
on the
amazing.
Show. That's really cool. Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. Cause you know, here you were like surprised that you were even going to be doing that. And then to actually find a celebrity that was cool in Hollywood enough to like work with your schedule as a parent, expect that is so, like you say, that is so incredibly tough to find because, you know, it's a cultural industry, period. It really is. And so
that was
find
everything.
Somebody that will
yeah.
work with you. Yeah, it was. And for you to be able to juggle, you know, being a father and being there for, you know, pickup and all those things matter. All those things matter. And you can see that in your daughter's life. Like you show up, like that's 101 right there. You show up, you know, and pick up, you know, you're there for her. So that's really cool that it's good to hear that there's good people out there like that in the industry. Cause you know, I know a handful of good, great people and a handful of not so great people in Hollywood. So, you know, it's good to hear that Dr. Phil was that way.
It was a very family first atmosphere for me there, you know, and even in my last time when I was leaving, because of De Liana's career had, you know, taken off. We were doing a reality show and then we were doing a lot of other things and, you know, it was becoming harder and harder for me to juggle, to be there. Like I needed to be there for him and then be there for all the things I was doing in my life, and I was ready to move on. So I just, you know, told him. He was so cool. He's like, yeah, your daughter is great. I can see where you guys are going. He goes, who knows? She's going to end up on a Broadway tour somewhere one day. And literally a year later, we end up on a Broadway tour. It was crazy. I'm like, you predicted it. But yeah.
That's insane.
That's insane.
You know, that's cool. I mean, okay, so I got to name drop a little bit more. So just a few more that I'm going to name drop. You work with, you know, a few, like, you know, people like Prince, John Stamos, Joan Rivers, Paula Abdul.
Oh, my God.
The Grammys, the AMAs, Oprah Winfrey, Quincy Jones, Mariah Carey, Taraji B. Henson. I mean, I could go on and on. Like, your list is ridiculous.
Well, let's say, so the Prince thing happened because I was working on a show called the what's it called? I can't remember. The new normal. It was called the new normal. I was a day player on that show, and you know, they had called me up because they had Prince coming in, and they thought that I would be a good match for Prince. They're like, hey, do you want to come in and work with Prince? I was like, is that a trick question? So. I'm like, you're calling me to come work with Prince? Yes, absolutely. So, you know, there was a whole thing happened there. But then I ended up meeting Prince again on the Arsenio Hall show. So there was like a year or two there where I just, you know, kept getting to see Prince, and that was just like phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, that had to be the best experience ever. Like probably one of your top, right? Like top most amazing experiences ever.
I mean, he was great. He was great. He was kind. He knew exactly what he wanted. I know he wears a C3. I know his color, matte color. He loved. I mean, it was all the things that you would think it would be. Yeah, nice.
Let me ask you, like, what was one of your favorite?
I'm just gonna finish this because you were the same as so many other people were like, you know, at awards shows where you get to like. Touch people up because they've gone to their other artists, and then you know they come to the award show, and then they're you know they just need like powder or lip gloss or whatever. I remember I was a young makeup artist, and I remember Mariah Carey came in, and like I never got to do her makeup like from scratch, but she came in and she had her stuff with her. She's like, here's my stuff, do what you do. And I was like, inside, I'm all cool on the outside, but on the inside, I'm like, Mariah Carey is sitting in my chair. Like what? I'm like, oh my god, like catch Missy. Like what? I just have to be cool, and I'm like, okay, I got you. And you know, it's just funny how you have to put on that armor of like I'm cool, I got this. And on the inside, you're like your butterflies are in your stomach. Like, oh my god, I hope I don't poke them in the eye. Or, you know, all the things. I hope I don't cough. I hope I don't slobber.
Oh, my God. That's got to be, like, I didn't even think about that. Like, but, I mean, and they probably share things with you and talk to you, and then probably some of them are quite, like, you probably have every kind of personality with all these celebrities. Like, you know, you have, you know, people that are talkative, and then you have some folks that, I mean, because, really what a lot of people don't realize is that celebrities are people too, right? They're just people, period.
Right.
They're just like us. They just might make a little bit more income than we do. and they have a little bit of stardust on them. But, I mean, they, you know, they're regular people just like us. And you know, some are great to work with just like anyone, right? Like if you were a doctor or if you were a teacher, there's you know, good and bad in everything. But what a blessing, you know?
I mean, it's been a blessing. Like mostly good. I mean, people are when they sit in your chair or they want you to help them with their makeup, like they're gonna be nice to you. Like it doesn't pay for them not to be, you know.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah, for sure.
I've been lucky to have good experiences, and you not lucky, just blessed, and I guess lucky, but I try to put out positive energy. I try to put out like good vibes, and if you put all those things out, hopefully they'll come back to you. So that's kind of what I believe, and I just try to do my best at all, you know, all times. And
I've seen you in action. I've worked as your wing woman before. I've worked as your wing woman before and learned so much. And I didn't even Google you at the time because sometimes I didn't want to Google you, to be honest with you. Like, when you told me what you did, I just wanted to know you like that. I Googled you later because I didn't want to – I do that sometimes. Sometimes I don't like to know too much about somebody because I don't want to feel weird around someone or feel like, oh, you know, I just like to get to know people for who they are. And, you know, you became my friend way before I knew what, you know, you did and who you worked with. You were amazing to work under and with, like, my gosh, I mean, I just volunteered, but I learned so much just from, and then I was like, wow, this is kind of fun. Like anytime you need to do any of this stuff, like with you, I will volunteer just because it's so fun. And, you know, and now I understand that you have taken your makeup game to a whole other level. You are launching your own line and I've heard about it, but you have not officially like told me anything about it. So I'm dying to know what this is all about. So please, let's do the big reveal here because I literally have not talked to you about this yet.
Well, so this is
kind of something that's really exciting to me. And how am I going to say this? Okay, so right now there's a strike. I've always wanted to have my own brand. And like you were talking about earlier, like you're kind of, I was kind of like, I do wear so many hats, which is funny because I typically, if you know me, I always have on a hat. It's funny that you use that.
Literally, use that literally.
Literally always have on a hat.
And very, like, and I feel, blingy hats too.
I feel naked if I don't have on a hat. So what was I gonna say? Oh, so this brand, my new brand, it's kind of encompassing everything that I love. I finally feel like I found my kind of identity as a brand, something that I can put out there and do everything that I love, and hopefully people love it also, and it helps people. And, you know, for so long, you know, people calling me for advice or talking to me, and I'm always like, well, what do I really have to offer? Like, who am I? But then people kept telling me, oh, no, you're inspiring. You're this, you're that. I'm like, are you really inspired by me? Like, I'm just putting out, like, what I want to get back. But so I've decided to take that all in and make a brand. And the brand is called Daddy Cool. And that comes from everything that I am. I've always been cool, but now I'm a daddy. And Deliana, my daughter, who I love dearly, our daughter, me and my husband, Kelly, and she has inspired me in so many ways. And I just feel like I'm complete, like being a dad and being cool. And she calls me Daddy Cool. So that's my brand. It's called Daddy Cool. And within the brand, I'm going to offer makeup. It's going to be Daddy Cool as a makeup artist, but it's also going to be Daddy Cool as an educator. I want to help teach people and give back so that people can, you know, either enter the industry. There's not specifically people of color, but or underrepresented communities. But, you know, people, when I got into the union or got into makeup professionally, there was literally, I couldn't find any other black makeup artists that were males that were doing what I did. And I just felt like that should not be. And a lot of it is just because, not that we don't have the talent, but we just don't know how to navigate or how to get there. And you have to know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And it's just a lot of things that go into knowing how to get into the industry, you know, what to have in the kit. So I want to be an educator, if that makes sense. I also want to help people who, just the layperson, people that are like you that are not on TV that are interested in makeup. So I'm going to have classes that, you know, that help just the everyday person who's not going on TV, who just is interested in makeup and wants to feel confident or wants to have an event that they want to know how to do their makeup or, you know, something like that. So I want to teach people how to do their makeup and so that they can feel like a star. and then the other part of the brand is called Raising an Effing Star. It's a TV show that Deliana and I did. A lot of parents are coming to me and asking me, you know, what did you do for your daughter? How did you help her reach her goals, reach one of her goals? You know, and just how do you break into the industry? All of these questions that parents have, and there's so much information out there that's irrelevant or that's false, that I feel like if I can put it together and get that information out there, that it'll be helpful to other parents as well. So that's going to be my whole brand, the Daddy Cool brand. And the website is going to be daddycool.la. Right now, it's still a work in progress, but you can go to the site, which is daddycool.la, and you can enter your email address.
And as soon as it launches, which will be this fall, you'll be one of the first to know. And I'm really excited, and I'm really nervous. Excited and nervous and all the things. So wish me luck. Pray for me. This is kind of one of those things that's always been on my heart. I'm an educator first. I mean, I was a cheer coach first. I love teaching. I love coaching. So kind of to go this route and mix my experience and can go back to my roots of coaching. Even though I'm not coaching cheerleading, I'm still coaching and helping people. It feels really good, and it feels full circle. And I really feel like it's my passion and it's my calling. So I am happy to share that. Finally, confident enough to share that. And let's go. Let's see what happens.
You will be amazing at it. I mean, I am a perfect testament to what you do. I mean, how many times have I called you saying, oh my gosh, what do I do? She's got this audition. She's got this going on. How do I, what do you think? You know, should she do this? Should she do that? Or how do I best prepare her for this? And you come through every time. Or, oh my gosh, we need a vocal coach. She's got a Broadway audition right now.
I don't think the listeners know yet, though, that our daughter, how we know each other. How we're friends. So you have to tell your listeners how we're friends. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's coming later. So the whole last part is about Day Day and how we know each other and everything. I usually start off that way. This time, you know, I kind of wanted to go with the flow of our conversation, which kind of worked out organically. Like we both had similar Clipper story. Like it was crazy. Like it's crazy the flow of things. But absolutely, we would 100% get into that. I mean, I want to flip the script though, because we were talking about makeup, right? Now you were behind the scenes, but you've also been in front of the camera as well with acting, which I didn't know. I mean, I know about your film that we're going to talk about in a minute. But I want to talk about, you know, how did you flip the script and go from behind the scenes, starting out, you know, cheerleading and moving here, and then you got injured with Clippers, and then, boom, you went into makeup, and now you're in front of the camera, you know, doing things like Sons of Anarchy, Coming to America, Dolomite, Straight Outta Compton. How did you evolve in from going behind the scenes to the front of the camera?
Right. Well, all the things you just named were shows, some of the shows that I day played on in makeup. Yeah.
Oh,
those,
really?
You saw them on my IMDb.
So you did.
Yeah.
Those are some of the shows.
Those are some of the shows that I think it was a mix of shows I day played on and then some of the shows that I worked on. But, yeah,
You did both? Is that what you're saying? Like you did both? Like you did makeup and you?
No, you
were on camera? Okay.
No, I have been on camera, but not on those shows. The shows that you named there were day-playing shows. I've been on camera for, you know, some independent films and then our TV show.
Okay.
And when I came to L.A., I started as a performer. So.
Okay.
It was a theatrical performance, like a Cirque type of show. So the day I got to L.A., I literally opened up the newspaper and I looked in the ads for auditions. And I went.
Let me ask you, was it Backstage West?
It was Backstage. I think it was Backstage West. It was Backstage West.
Backstage
and it was on. I remember it was May of 2002. May of 2002.
Yep, yep.
And it was, you know, community. It was like local theater looking for people who can dance and do tricks. And I was like, oh, well, that's me. So I went and I auditioned. And the day that I moved to that was kind of before I moved to L.A. I was just here like looking around. I auditioned, and I got into this theater group. Like, I got the job. And so when I moved to LA, I was already had like a performing gig, and that gig lasted for 2 years actually. So it was with Raman. The show was called the Ramayana, and it was a group theater group called the Fabulous Monsters. One of the best times of my life being in this show. It took us to New York. I lived in New York for a couple of months doing this show. So that was my kind of performer part of my makeup artist performer. Because in that show, I did, you know, crazy makeup. When you do a kind of, it was kind of a Cirque du Soleil kind of show. So we had like crazy, you know, makeup and glitter and everything. And that's kind of how the makeup artist performer thing came about. And then, you know, I kind of broke it down, became more specific. But so it started off as a performer. Then I moved back into cheerleading. And then I went into doing makeup full time. And then I met some people, my friend group, who are movie producers or whatnot, and, you know, they always saw me as a performer as well. So when they had projects, you know, they would let me do little bit parts and come in and out. And then I got to learn about the writing process, about filming, about camera, about all the parts. And then eventually I ended up producing my own film. But I got to be in a film called Mother's Little Helpers, which was a South by Southwest favorite film. And what else did I get to do? I can't even remember. It all kind of runs together.
But nevertheless, it's kind of, but see, that it's really cool though that you are able to, you know, be behind the scenes and then kind of feel what it's like to be in front of the camera, because I think it helps you too, you know, with people maybe that have stage fright or they're thinking of something. Now you're able to grab their character and understand what they're going through, and then also help your daughter and what she's experiencing, because you've seen kind of both parts, you know. And with that, like, you know, then with that, like you said, you touched on, which I want to get into now, is about you being executive producer and co-writer of the film that you you were featured in with your daughter, Deliana, who I had the pleasure of having a sneak preview before it even went out. Like, you were still kind of finishing it up when I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I felt so honored that you showed me that in your backyard. Thought that was super, super cool. I want to say congratulations on this project. Like, it's going far. You know, you have this film, you know, called Separate, and you premiered it, as I understand, the 2022 Cinema Diverse in Palm Springs LGBTQ+ Film Festival. And what I love is that the fun fact, I think is really cool, is that each department on the film was actually led by women, LGBTQ+, you know, professionals. I just think that was really, really cool how you did it. You were very specific in what you wanted. Tell us about your project.
So our film, Separate, this is such a long story. I don't know where to start. I don't want to be long-winded. But it's a film. It's an apocalyptic. I can never say the word. How do you say it?
Apocalyptic. Apocalyptic.
Yeah, say it. It's that. I can never say that word.
It is a tongue twister.
But it's a kind of that. It's a foretelling kind of story where it's a futuristic story where, say, God, I can't even think about it. Okay, so, you know, everybody knows what's happening politically in the world right now with people's rights being taken away, women's rights, gay rights. You know, the political climate right now is such of not of gaining people. It's like going backwards. So with all this stuff happening in the world, I was thinking in my head, like, what if there was a world where the courts started overturning, you know, gay marriages? Me and my husband have been together 30 years, Me and my husband have been together 30 years, and we adopted Daliana. You know, but all the crazy shit that's happening, like, what if they come in and be like, okay, well, you guys were a family, but now you're not. Like, psych, do-over, like, now we're reversing all the rights of gay marriages, so now you guys aren't married, so now you guys are parents. So this movie is kind of like a cautionary, that's the word I was looking for, a cautionary tale of what if, you know, that was happening in the future. Like, what would that look like? You know, where people are escaping, they're like rounding up gay people, they're rounding up the kids of gay families and putting them, you know, in camps and, you know, in like holding them there. And, you know, and I just wanted to tell that kind of a story. You know, a lot of people say it's kind of like there. I've never seen The Handmaid's Tale, but a lot of people who see it say, oh, it's kind of like Handmaid's Tale. I should probably watch The Handmaid's Tale. But I just want people to know that, you know, we're families. We are real. There are families that, two moms, two dads, and we are loving, kind. We want to be just like everyone else. We're not scary boogeymen. And our family are just as important as yours. Our families are real. I think I heard some politician one day say, well, they're not real families. I'm like, F you. Like, who are you? You're not real. So, you know, people are,
yeah,
people are like butting in where they don't need to butt in. And that's where, that's kind of one of Daliana's lines in the movie. She's like, people should mind their own business and blah, I forgot. But anyway, I'm excited that I wrote that, co-wrote that with Daliana's acting teacher at the time. His name was Ryan Swartz. He's a very talented writer, and we wanted to write something original for Daliana. And I told him about this, you know, my fears and everything. So he started writing, and then I started writing, and then we kind of went back and forth. And then how it was made is we auditioned for a reality show during the pandemic, and they picked our family to be in this reality show. And when you're on a reality show, they want you to do – you know, they always go, okay, so what do you have going on? That's why if you ever watch, like, The Housewives or something, they always have a project. They're always, like, making a business or opening up something or doing something, hosting an event. Because they tell you, you got to have something going on. You know how they're always talking about, oh, you trying to stay relevant. You trying to do this. You trying to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. When you go on a reality show, they say to you, okay, we're coming to your house. What's happening? So you're like, I'm making a movie. I'm like, I wrote a movie and I'm making a movie and it's going to be a movie. And so you get into this bubble, and then like you have to make it happen because you have cameras looking at you, making you make it happen. You know, that's why
I
feel.
And I mean,
that's
literally,
I
you're just living
somewhere.
Your life, but you don't know how to explain it because, like, you're just doing you and you're living your life. You're like, this is my life.
It's not true, but, you know, it makes it amplified because you're doing it on reality TV. So, I mean, I can see how, I mean, this is dated because, I don't know, like, you know how Chateau Charest was being built, right? Did you ever watch Atlanta Housewives?
Yeah,
wasn't she like
yeah.
building a house like forever and forever? And I
did
it ever get built? It might have got built. I don't know.
It's definitely
watching.
Dramified. No, I don't even know. It's just dramified.
But you know, I just keep thinking about, like, I'm not really up on the house like you, but like I remember like Sheree had her fashion line come out, like She by Sheree or something, and then everybody was like, well, when is it coming? When's it coming? I feel for her because I know she probably was just like, they were like, what do you have going on? She's like, well, I have a fashion line. I'm going to open a fashion line. And maybe it doesn't happen. But then you have, like, the housewives, like the girl who did Skinny Margarita, whatever her name, what's her name? The Bethany. She actually made her, she's from the Housewives of New York, a reality TV star. She made the Skinny Margarita, and she's got this big billion-dollar business now. So, you know, she started that on the show. So that's why you have all these people doing projects when they're on reality shows, because they literally ask you. I mean, this is not fact. This is just my theory because it happened to me. But so I'm like, oh, I'm making a movie. So I literally had to make a movie. And this is our baby that happened out of being on reality show. So we got filmed making our movie on the reality show. If you watch the reality show, it's called Raising an Effing Star. It's on E. And you can see us being filmed making the movie that Ryan and I wrote. And then my friend Kestrin directed. We had a very diverse crew, like you said. And it's just amazing. I produced it and I starred in it because I didn't want Deliana to get all the attention.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
yeah,
if I'm going to do a movie for you.
I saw that episode on Raising an Effing Star when she was shooting her video and she had the big afro. And you were like, it's about me, too. I'm like, oh, my God, cool.
I'm being honest. Like, parents, a lot of parents won't be honest about that. Yeah, it's about you, but it's about me, too.
I know, right? You know, we have a life, too. Yeah. We sometimes forget that. Cool. No, seriously. We sometimes forget our own deal because we're so focused on our child. I'm starting to do that now. Like, I am starting to go back into my music right now because I'm like, you know what? You know, I love you, my daughter, but you're like 10 now, and I need to do a little bit for me, too, because I'm a musician, too. Like, I'm an artist, too, right? So we all have that little stardust in us. So I don't blame you, and I thought it was, as much as I was, like, crying laughing at that part, like, I was like, you know what? That's real talk. That's real talk.
It is real talk. I have to be honest with myself. And that's kind of what I tell myself on my birthday this year. And anybody out there is going through, it's not a midlife crisis, but I'm like, I'm proud of it. I'm in my 50s. I'm 50 now, right? So it's kind of like, actually, I'm 51. Look, I'm putting my but
I'm like, wait a minute.
Ready.
Didn't we do 50 last year? I went to your party.
I did 50.
You had 51st, too.
Right. So anyway, I'm in that age group now. And it's time, to go. You're not getting any younger. You got to put yourself out there and just go. And I feel I'm really, we talked about my dad passing, but when you lose a loved one like that, I lost my mom this past in May, I feel really like liberated now. I feel like she's like above me, like being my cheerleader, because a lot of the things that a lot of fear that I used to have and putting myself out there, like even with this brand and stuff, like, it seems like I put myself out there, but I haven't really put like my brand and stuff out there like I wanted to. There's a lot of things I really still want to do. Even though it seems like I've done a lot, I feel like my mom now is like my wings on my back, and she's just saying, go, go, go. And it's time to, yes, do your daughter, do your dad, do Deliana, but you can be daddy. You can be daddy and be cool. So that's kind of like, we put so much of ourselves
cool.
into Yeah, we put so much of ourselves into our kids. And, it's been it's all about Deliana. So it'll always be all about your kid, too. But it can be both. You can be a jack of all trades. You don't have to be one.
Yes.
You can be both.
That's
so
true.
I keep telling myself that, yeah.
I know, but you know what? I'm going to switch it now. Now I'm going to switch it. I'm going to do exactly what you said not to do right now. It's that part of the show. Where I'm gonna do the exact opposite of what you're saying right now, and I'm gonna put the stardust back. I'm gonna put it on Deliana now because I want to talk about. You mentioned how they met and how we met, which was pretty darn amazing. We saw this open call for Lion King, and of course, every single little girl wanted to be young Nala or older Nala, depending on their age, and every boy wanted to be. Simba, young Simba or older Simba, I mean, those are the main roles, right? So, Brianna was coming off a really rough audition of Annie where she was unable to audition. They just typecasted her as a maid, which was which is a whole other story. So she came off of that going to lunch. Yeah. I don't know if I didn't tell you that.
No, I didn't know.
School play, she said, I want Annie. They wouldn't even let her try out. They made her be a maid. And so literally while she was, so that happened. And then we went to the audition of Lion King. And we said, I said, Brianna, what role do you want to audition for? There's like hundreds of kids. Remember, there's like tons of kids everywhere outside. And she said, I want young Nala. I said, well, there's a lot of different parts. Are you sure that that's the part? She goes, it's the only part I want. I want young Nala. That's it. I go, oh, okay. So then she went in and she auditioned. And Miss Melanie, director, came out and she said, can you come in here? And she wanted to interview me to make sure I wasn't crazy. Little did she know, I used to be an actress. So, she didn't know I was crazy at the time. She got to know me. She just took it. No, she casted her as young Nala. She's like, can she handle it? And so Brianna got casted as young Nala. It immediately blew up her confidence. But then she said, Mommy, I don't want to be an Annie anymore. I said, no, you committed to being in both plays. So you have to carry out Annie, and you still got to be young Nala. You can't just quit. So I made her carry it out. But then after that, she said, no more school plays for me, Mommy. I want to do this for real. This is what I want to do. I'm an actress. So she was there, and then older Nala was Daliana, and these two look like sisters. They look just like sisters, which was a perfect cast because they became sisters. They became best friends. Like, Brianna looks up to Daliana so much. They spent a lot of time together, on set, right? We were all on set, like, every day in, day out. We did costumes, we did makeup, we did, I don't know what hat we didn't wear behind the scenes. I ain't never done so much volunteering in my life with a full-time job behind the scenes.
Miss Melanie did. Dr. Melanie did. She put us to work, didn't she?
Well, Melanie put us to work. She put us to work. We worked hard behind the scenes, but we learned a lot. Wardrobe. We learned so much behind the scenes. And it was so fun to work with you. That's where we worked together with the makeup. I got to do all the lionesses, and that was so fun to me. Lions, that was so fun. I mean, just learning behind the scenes, with you, and just getting to bond with all the parents. The parents were, we became one big family, all the parents and the kids. We became a family.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my friends now come from my daughter's parents, the cool parents.
The cool parents.
The cool parents that end up, creating relationships from their relationships, which is kind of cool. Because if our kids weren't friends, I don't think we would be friends. Well, we probably would,
but the thing is that we probably would have never met. We met because of our kids. And then literally right after that, your daughter's career just blew up. You guys told me that you couldn't talk anything about what you landed. You're like, oh, we're busy with the project. That was it. We didn't have
because
you had to sign all the contracts.
Yeah, you got to sign NDAs, but you also have to, what are I going to say? You have to sign NDAs, but you also don't want to jinx stuff. Like, Daliana's superstitious, I guess, because of me. So, we knock on wood a lot. Because a lot of things are happening, and you're dreaming about them. You want them to happen, so you don't want to. You want to put out positive energy, but you don't. You want to be confident, but you don't want to be cocky, and you don't want to be braggadocious. And you want to be humble. All of those things, because that's when your gifts will come, right? That's when your gifts come, when you're grateful, and you say you're grateful, and you're nice to others. I mean, that's what I believe. I believe being nice to people, putting out things and putting out good energy, and being humble, and just, it's just blessings. Your blessings are flowing. You keep them flowing if you're giving them back. It's paying your tithes, right? That's what they were talking about.
Yeah. And then I remember you were going through the whole process after, raising Effing Star, then going through the process of Broadway. But, I mean, you had other callbacks before you got this, before Daliana landed the Tina Turner musical. Like, you had other callbacks prior to, but then she finally landed. And that was, the biggest news, because in our bubble of parents that were like day in and day out for like 4 months or whatever on Lion King, like we spent a lot of time together. You guys were the family that popped, like, and it was just like it gave us all hope and confidence and believing, wow, you know, Daliana, Cole, Kelly, like the family, like this is huge. They're family, you know, as a family, you're stars, right? On Raising an Effing Star. But then also Daliana's career, you know, traveling on tour, but involves you guys too, because as a support system, as a parent, now you guys had to uproot everything that you were doing and go on this national tour. So what was that like? And I mean, no, not what was it like, because you're still on tour. You planned on the 6 months, and then you just signed another contract for another 6 months. So, like, what has that been like? You literally uprooted your entire being and been on the road. Not, like, your home has been on your back.
Well,
like,
I mean,
you're running.
It's kind of what it's wild, unexpected. You just kind of go with the flow, and you make it work. Like, when Daliana has been performing, wanting to perform and working towards getting in the industry since she was like 8 years old, I think she made her first movie. And this role, ironically, this role in the Tina, in this play, the Tina Turner musical, was just being workshopped then. And literally she just got her first agent. And the first audition that she ever got was for Young Anime on the Tina Turner musical. And it was before it was even made into a musical. It was like the first round. And
wow.
So she auditioned. She was a little young for it. So she didn't, and she was raw. I looked back at the footage and I was like, whoa. Oh, it was so funny. I see how far she's come. But she auditioned for, like, back in 2016, I think. She was maybe 7 years old, 7, 8 years old. And then she auditioned for it again when she was 9 years old. And then she auditioned again for it when she was 11. So she auditions for it, like, literally every other year. Because it kept going on Broadway, and then it was going on tour. She got a new manager, because we were doing all these manager showcases. She'd been working her butt off and getting better. But I literally told her she had just gotten into the Debbie Allen Middle School, which is a great school, and it was only Debbie Allen's second year having a middle school. She had the audition. She worked her butt off to get into that. And I'm like, Day, let's just stop auditioning right now. Like, then just go to junior high. Just go to school. And then after junior high, if you still want to be in the industry, you can start auditioning again. But this is going to be her last audition. And then the new manager that she got said that they were looking for an Eileen that they had already cast the roles, but they were looking for someone to audition to be the understudy for the Tina Turner tour. And I was like, oh, we auditioned for this already. And her manager's like, no, I really think that she'll get it. I really think that she'll get it. And I was like, okay, well, this is the last one. This is the last one. And then you're just going to school. And then after middle school, you can try this again. And so here we are. She booked it. She was 11 years old and she booked it after auditioning for every other year. And,
wow.
You know, we kept knowing that we were booking it. She was 11, and then that was, like, in May. So we knew that we kind of had it, but it wasn't going to be announced until July. So we had to keep it hush-hush, one, because the ink wasn't dry, and two, you know, it's not real until it's real, especially in Hollywood.
Right.
Or in this industry. It's not real until it's real. So finally, we were able to, the announcement came out in July, and so I don't know what else to say about that. So then she booked a job, and then we went to New York, and it was only supposed to be 6 months, and you know, we did 6 months of the contract. It was kind of tough for her because she was the understudy, and she went in knowing as an understudy, and her manager said, "You may go on, you may not, but your job is to be there in case something happens to the other girls." So she was cool with that. She goes, it's a great starter role. She's going to get all this experience. And I'm like, okay, great. It's going to be great. But then it's different when you get there and then she sees all the other kids doing stuff. And she's like, what am I doing? So, but she learned everything, and she was a pro. She did her job. She got put in the middle of the show once. She got put in that 5 minutes the curtain. She was out in the audience. They called her on her watch. She was like, you got to go on. So she did her job. She was like the bat girl. being called in to go in at the last minute, right? So she did that,
yeah.
And then we were supposed to be done in 6 months. They offered another contract. So here we are. We're doing it another 6 months. So at this point, you know, Kelly and I, we're a husband and wife, we're like, we're not at home. We should just move out of our house because, like, nobody's there. So we gave up our house, our house. We were renting it. So we just moved out. And then that led into another contract. Now we're into another contract. In that second contract, she got to go on a lot. Like, she got to go on and, like, she opened Atlanta. She opened another city. You know, she ended up getting her feet weighed up a lot. She performed in L.A. And
yes,
and now,
we were there. Fantasias. Yay.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So now,
amazing.
Guess what? The strike happened. We're moving back home, and then there's nothing happening at home for me. And Deliana's like, she's still loving being on the road. They offered her another contract and an upgrade. So now she's not an understudy anymore. She's a principal. So she got upgraded to principal, and she's on in every city. And we're moving into the actual new contract starts next week. So this is the last week of her old contract. So we're moving into another 6 months, but now she's a principal. So that just tells you that for her, like, hard work, you know, don't give up after the first time or the second time. The third time for her was a charm. And then she didn't even, you know, she didn't get the role at first because they already had cast it and she's the understudy. But now after two contracts of being an understudy, now she's the principal. So, like,
amazing.
That's just like sticking with it if you want it and staying with the game and just growing. And it just shows her dedication and how much, if anybody ever wanted to know if she wanted it, that's how bad she wanted it. And that's how much we supported her as a family. So don't give up. If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off, try again. That's what I've always taught her. And to see her actually do that and live it, it's pretty amazing as a dad. Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
And I'm just along.
You
it's
know,
her life right now. I'm just along for the ride.
Well,
but
and,
that's
and
why I'm working on my brand
fit
now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know, but I don't know how you even fit in a pageant during this whole thing. And then I got to say, and then so she won, you know, Miss Preteen USA. And, I mean, what I love is the fact that I love this about you. I thought this was so cool. You said if you're going to be a queen, then you have to do what queens do. You know, they take care of their people. And so now on the tour, I think this is so cool. And everybody I've talked to about this, they think this is the most awesome thing, you know, that you are having her give back to her community and being humble and showing gratitude. And so I know in San Jose, you know, this last week you went to one of my best friend's classrooms, Karen, Miss Lauby's classroom, and and Deliana read to the class, and that meant a lot, you know, to the students. And she says, hi, by the way, she just texted me. And that meant a lot because now they're seeing, like, to them in their eyes, like, that's a celebrity, and they're seeing somebody being kind and caring about them and with a positive message and giving back to the community. So I love the fact that while she's on tour, she's going to be doing some philanthropy work, you know, out there. And so, you know, I want for those folks that are listening, because there's people listening from all around the world, you know, on this show tonight. I got people in Europe that even listen. But there's people all over the nation that listen to my show. So I want you to tell everyone how they can reach you in case they want to book Deliana too, like to do something in their community or make an appearance. Or not only that, how can they contact you to attend one of your workshops, you know, as your coaching workshop for parents in the industry, or even a makeup workshop, or just contact you in general because they have questions or whatever. What's the best social media website? You know, how can people get in contact with you? Cool.
Well, there's a lot there. Thank you. I want to say thank you to your friend Karen. Thank you to you for making that happen, connecting us to Karen so Deliana could go in her classroom. And one of the things that Deliana does is she is the reigning Miss West Coast princess, so we fit in the pageant, and she won the pageant. And yeah, she's going to be a queen. A queen is not just about pretty dresses. A queen is about being about giving back, and you have to take care of the community. That's what I'm trying to teach her. So we are volunteering in each city across America as we tour with the Tina Turner musical. You guys can reach us or follow us on Deliana's social platform, which Deliana is spelled DAELYANNA underscore daily. DAILY. So it's a play on words with Deliana underscore daily. So you can have your daily dose of Deliana if you choose to. Of course, I have to promote her first. Next is you can follow me on social media on Instagram at Beat by Cool. That's B-E-A-T by Cool, C-O-O-L, B-E-A-T-B-Y-C-O-O-L. Also, you can go to daddycool.la and enter in your email address and join my emailing list, and that's where you'll learn all things Daddy Cool. So yeah, if you want to,
I love
book,
that.
If you want to book us, or if you see yourselves, you're going to be in one of the cities that we're coming to on the Tina tour. You can always DM me. Just contact us that way, or you can call Tammy.
Yeah, and my absolutely, and you know, my dad, you know, wants to shout out to you too. Like my dad and Vicky, they really appreciate you coming to their bar. It was such a treat, you know. And
you
having
did okay.
Drummer
you
from
did
Ike
the hookup.
Tina. Okay.
Tammy,
well, I don't even know.
Ms.
I haven't
Tammy,
even talked
Ms.
to my
Tammy
dad
hooked
or
us
you.
Up. You hooked okay. us up. With, we were going to San Jose. This is what I love about my friends and my community. As we travel across the United States, you know, you have friends and they know people in each city, and they're like, you gotta talk to this person. You gotta talk to this person. Well, you guys, Tammy's, and we were in San Jose. Tammy's dad has a bar called the Quarter Note. And he really rolled out the red carpet for us. He fed us, gave us drinks. He went to the they have a live band that plays the hell out of some instruments. We got on stage and sang with the live band. Some of the cast members from the Tina show got to go there and actually play with one of Tina's original drummers that just happened to be in Tammy's dad's bar the same night we were. It's crazy. It was crazy. But yeah, you rolled it out, and your dad was a great host. And I mean, that's what it's about. It's about community and building community wherever you go. So
yeah, yeah. I'm so like that whole like I so wish I could have saw that night, but I know I'm going to hear about
it. I got
it later.
Lots of videos. I haven't sent you lots of videos and pictures.
Yeah. Hello. Like you and my dad. Oh yeah. It was epic. And I'm like, that's all I got. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I know nothing about this right now. Like, yeah, I got to see all the videos and the pictures, but we are about to get cut off in a minute. And I want to end our show by playing one of De Liana's songs. I don't think we have enough time to play two, so this is what I want to propose to you. Like, let's, on my next show, let's bring De Liana. Let's bring De Liana on the show. Like, it's up to you if you want to do it or not. And maybe even her friend.
Oh, she's a lot more fun than me.
No, you are absolutely amazing. You are so much fun to talk to. You know, you and I can talk for hours, like, just period. Like, you and I could talk for hours. But it would be a great segue to have her on the show, you know, next. So we'll talk about that. But
yeah.
I want to play one of her songs tonight. So should we do Free the Bun, Who I Am, or Part of Your World tonight? And then we'll bring her back on and we can play more of her music.
Well, let's do this. Free the Bun and Who I Am is available on iTunes. If you go to on all music platforms. So if you go to Apple Music or any music platforms and put in De Liana as an artist, you'll see her EP, which is called Who I Am. And on that EP is also Free the Bun. Part of Your World is the cover, is an original cover that we've done, and it's not yet released. So why not just give them a sneak peek of Part of Your World?
Okay, we're going to give them a sneak peek right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so
we
have to do it right now, or
should
it cut us off? Yes, Part of Your World. I want to thank you so much, Cool. I got to do this, or it's going to cut us off. So, and I want them to hear it. So I want to thank you so much. Love you so much. Stay blessed. And I will be praying for you and your family, like, for much success. You guys, you guys earned it. And I am
thank
just
you.
So elated to interview you.
Thank you
we'll
for having
talking
me.
To you. Thank you so much. Okay. Mwah. All right, everybody, here's Part of Your World by De Liana.
I got plenty, but who cares?